Is Rick here? I'm guessing not. Rick Husey in early service wanted to make sure everybody saw the financial paperwork that we had, as a voters group voted in on, I think it was April 7th, so last Sunday. You need to review that as we get ready for the voters meeting, which will take place on April 28th at 1 o'clock. That will be something that's on there in terms of the official call and so on and so forth. So just make sure you take a look at that when you get a chance. Also, Seder meal that we have done traditionally at this church is this Thursday. If you would like to come, please sign up in the Welcome Center. This is the last Sunday that you can sign up. We just want to make sure, and part of that, by the way, is because it's this Thursday, right? It's Monday, Thursday, this Thursday. But we just do that. We want to make sure that we have enough food for everybody. So please sign up. Let us know if you're coming, and so we'll be glad to have you. And so, yeah. And that's all the announcements that I really have. So please let us now stand and greet one another in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to spit it out. Please turn and face the cross. John 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Here ends the text. may be seated. We now invite Cale Lutz up for his faith talk.
Carl and Deborah Lutz, I have two sisters and one brother. I also have three nephews and two nieces. We've all attended St. John's Lutheran Church for my entire life. My grandparents, Jean and Sandy Lutz, have also been members of this church. I have a lot of interests such as video games, collecting pocket knives, and macheting. I would like to follow my dad's footsteps and run our family business, KDL Macheting, one day. I have been raised to believe that there is one true God and that He has given us His Son and sacrifice for our salvation, as a sacrifice for our salvation. I have learned a lot from confirmation. One thing I have learned is that there is a lot more to learn. I don't believe there is ever truly a point where any one person can say they have nothing left to learn about God or His Word. God's Word never changes. I believe it is the one only thing that is constant in our lives. God's Word is love, encouragement, forgiveness, wisdom, and hope. It carries us when we are weak and pushes us forward and accompanies us when we are unsure. God's Word is goodness and mercy. Confirmation taught me that Jesus Christ has done for me. He sacrificed Himself so that I may have a better life after this life. Because no matter how much I learn in this confirmation or in church through my own experience or how hard I try to apply what I have learned, I can never be good enough for the grace that has been given to me. I rejoice in the fact that Christ has died and redeemed me through His blood.
We begin our service this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the examples of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. The same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now continue with our reading.
Our first reading, the Old Testament, is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 36 through 39. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the end of the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for Palm Sunday, Jesus predicts his death that will occur during this holy week. It's found in the book of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' And Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, 'We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' So Jesus said to them, 'The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.' When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Please be seated as we sing a hymn that gives Hosanna praises to the Lord.
Thank you.
grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Samuel walked back and forth for what felt like the 100th time. He was waiting with anticipation, yet not the kind of anticipation that ended with joy. No, Samuel was waiting for someone to arrive, but the arrival was supposed to be between 1 and 3 p.m., or at least that's what the voice on the phone had told him. And so he waited for the arrival of his guest, but not with excitement, not with joy. Actually, as Samuel thought about it, it was kind of actually with a little bit of dread. How much was this going to cost him, he thought. His whole house could be at issue. It was just yesterday that Samuel, while stopping by the house really quick on his way to somewhere else, quickly saw a black spot on the wall and a small flame forming. Bad wiring by an outlet had caught fire. He called an electrician quickly. Sometime between 1 and 3 p.m. tomorrow, the voice on the other end of the phone said. Samuel looked out the window, a cloud of dust coming up the driveway, and he had that sense of dread. How much was this going to cost him? Yet at the same time, as he watched the truck finally pull in, he also felt that sense of comfort. Comfort. His whole family could have died. What if this would have happened at night? What if nobody would have saw it? Nobody would have heard it? What if the whole house could have gone up? Yes, regardless of the cost, no matter how much it cost, this was a good thing. This was a thing which would keep his family at least a little bit safer. The word hour, it appears in the Gospel of John 24 times. Now, to put that into perspective, the word hour appears 90 times in the ESV, the entire Bible, the entire ESV Bible. And out of the 90 times, nearly one-third of them come from this gospel, the Gospel of John. Before we get to our text, the word appears 11 times. And most of those instances are coming straight from the mouth of Christ himself, telling someone, his mother, the Pharisees, his disciples, that his hour had not yet come. In one of the first instances, Jesus is at Cana in Galilee at a wedding feast, and he's telling that to his mother right before he turns water into wine for the wedding feast. In chapter 4, Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman at the well, and he tells her about an hour that is coming, but is yet not here. And on it goes throughout the gospel. The repetition of the word causes kind of a sense of buildup, a sense of anticipation. Each time the word comes up, we see that buildup come again. What does he mean? What's going to happen? Throughout the gospel, we're left wondering about when this hour is to come and what that actually means. We are left to wonder exactly what's going to happen. What will that mean for those people that are around Jesus, his disciples? The anticipation of all of this builds to the ministry of Christ Jesus. As he travels around Israel, talking about the kingdom of God, talking in parables and stories, healing those that are in need, casting out demons, speaking with authority. But the anticipation leaves us a little bit of wondering. Is this something that once it comes will fill us with joy, or will it fill us with dread? Admittedly, the more we read the Gospels, you can actually see that the disciples seem to anticipate something that is good, something that is wonderful. Even the people standing at the streets leading to Jerusalem thought something wonderful was about to happen. The use of the word Hosanna reveals that the expectation is of the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies, emphasizing that Christ was marching into Jerusalem to be the king of Israel. The anticipation was one of joy. Great things were coming. Finally, Finally, the tyranny of the Roman Empire would be through. Jesus had come. The Messiah had come, and he was going to be the ruler of the nation of Israel. Maybe, they even thought, he would bring back the glory days of King David toward the end of his reign when the kingdom was at its height, carried on through his son, King Solomon. Oh, what joy. Oh, what final culmination of all that they had waited for. Salvation had come. Salvation from the Romans. Salvation for the nation. Salvation for the nation of Israel. Israel, which had suffered so much. And then Jesus begins to talk. He talks about his hour. The hour which had been built up over the last 12 chapters has finally come. The hour was there. But Jesus does not talk about things of joy. He does not talk about anticipating this hour with a sense of joy. Not at all. Instead, he talks about how something must die. Wheat dies, he says, in order to bear much fruit. Jesus talks about losing one's life. On top of that, he talks about how his soul is troubled. That doesn't sound joyful at all. In fact, as Christians, especially Christians living in 2019, we know the end of the story. We know that Christ here is talking about his own death upon the cross. We know that Christ will be lifted up. He will be lifted up in glory, but not the kind of glory that we would necessarily think. Jesus is going to the cross where he will be lifted up for the sake of all people. And there upon the cross, he will draw people, all people, to himself. It is there, lifted up, that we will see the consequences of our sin. We will see Christ beaten and bloody, and we will know that it is our works, our deeds, our sins that brought him there. His hour had come. Yes, his hour had come. It had come. Christ went to Jerusalem that day with roars of cheers of people. And later, he would be lifted up so that all might see the sacrifice God was willing to do for our sake, for you and for me. You see, Christ was going to be lifted up for our safety. It didn't matter the cost. What mattered was God's love for his children and all that he was willing to do for them, all that he did do for them through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All that our Heavenly Father did for us by sending his Son to die upon a cross for our sake and for our salvation. It didn't matter the cost. God loved us, his children, and sent his Son for us. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you can find that book of friendship right on the side by the aisles, and sign that, get to know the people around you, that would be great.
Forgiving God.
would think after 4.5 years that I would know that confession and absolution comes right after the sermon, but as it turns out, 4.5 years is not long enough. So if you wouldn't mind joining me in a word of prayer as we confess our sins before our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we have sinned in so many ways, Lord, with our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And we just ask, Lord, that you would hear us this day as we take a moment to confess and to pour out our hearts and lay our sin at your feet. Hear us now as we take a few moments to do that. Oh Lord, we come before you this day and ask of your mercy for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is lifted up on the tree, who paid the price for our sin. And we just come to you this day asking for his mercy given to us through his work. In his name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may now be seated as we continue with the Lord's Supper. Thank you. Please stand for the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.